All right, Father, we thank you this morning for this moment. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the preaching of the word. And here we are today, Holy Spirit of God, and just gleaning into the scriptures and wanting to understand what you've called us to do. Father, we pray for wisdom. We pray for revelation knowledge. We pray for understanding. I pray for my brothers and my sisters today that, Lord, you would reveal to them that which you want to do in us and through us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Go with me to Proverbs 29 verse 18. My wife just alluded to that scripture. And, let's go into it. Proverbs 29 verse 18. I'm correct, eh? Proverbs 29 verse 18. I'm going to read three versions of the Bible. Three versions of the Bible. The first one is the modern King James Version. The Bible says, where there's no vision, the people perish. But he who keeps the law, he is blessed. Where there's no vision, the people perish. But he who keeps the law, he is blessed. The NIV says, where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. But blessed is the one who heeds wisdom's instruction. Now, this one calls it revelation. Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. Okay, let's go to the ESV. The ESV says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. Where there is no vision, many times we read that scripture and we think about the vision that is cast in companies, the vision that you have as a family, the vision that a youngster has for their matric. Okay? That's okay, but it's important for us to remain true to what Solomon was referring to when he said, in the absence of a vision, the people perish. Solomon was not just talking about any vision that you concoct in the beginning of the year. Solomon was talking about a prophetic vision. He was talking about a God-ordained word. He was talking about a God-inspired word. That is why many people can write as much as they want in their diaries, but they might never see any of that stuff seeing the light of day. It is because it's not coming from God. It is their own ideas that they have. So this scripture highlights the importance of a vision in the life of an individual, and the vision we're talking about is God's word. It's when you run your life in line with the destiny that God had in mind for you. Not what you have in your own mind out of your own imagination. Now, I want to say this morning, the absence of a God-ordained message or a true preaching of the word, that absence will lead to people becoming idle. Where you have a people who just don't know what to do because God hasn't revealed anything for them to pursue and to run. Habakkuk chapter 2, the Lord speaks to Habakkuk and he says, the things that I have shown you, write them down so that whoever sees them can run. It is so important that you as a family, you have a God-inspired idea. Not just your own idea. Because when it is birthed in the Spirit, the Lord will provide enough to ensure that it becomes a reality. So in the absence of a God-ordained message or a true preaching of the word, people become idle. People are preoccupied with the mundane things of this world. An entire church is concerned about things that has nothing to do with heaven. People stop performing good works. People become ungovernable. And they become rebels in the absence of a God-given vision. And I want to say this morning, as a church, we have a God-given word. So one, it talks about the absence, but two, it can also speak of a people who don't care about that God-given vision. You can have a family that knows this is what God has called us to do, but they don't pay attention to it. The same result will occur. In a church where we know this is what God has called us to do, but the people in that moment do not pay heed. It results in us to become idle, to become obsolete, to become ungovernable, not because God has not spoken, but because we don't care much about what God has said. And this morning, I want to say to us, we are not ignorant. We are informed because we are in a household where God has given us an inspired vision. It is catastrophic for a life lived without a vision. A life lived without a God-inspired word. Helen Keller, a writer, a lecturer, blind. She became blind when she was 18 months old. This is what she said. The only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. Man, I don't know about you, but there are plenty of us like that. We have sight, but we've got no vision. We are ignorant. We don't know what God is saying in the season. Now, I want to encourage you today to go on a journey with me as we unpack what we are about as Go Church. Now, I want you to realize that whenever God wants to do a work, He calls a visionary. And He puts people around the vision bearer to assist Him in bringing about the vision to life. Now, if you don't know, Go Church Pretoria East is part and parcel of Go Family of Churches. We were planted out of Centurion. Now, there is another church that was in Johannesburg. At this point in time, they've taken time out to reconsolidate. But Go Pretoria East is part and parcel of the Go Church, a Go Family of Churches. Now, this is a vision that we're running with here at Go Pretoria East. Now, I want you to realize that to bring a dream and a vision to reality, everyone needs to be fully engaged and committed to the vision. God gives one vision, saints, for each household. And it is important that we all rally behind that vision. That is why this morning I want to title this whole talk. I want to say, handle the vision like it matters. You see, it's important for us to handle this vision like it matters. Handle it like it matters because it does matter. Until everyone sees the value behind a vision, that vision remains a pipe dream. Until everybody here sees the importance of who we are as God Church, it becomes just an idea. You see, you give yourself to what matters to you, isn't it? Parents give everything for their children because their children matter to them. Couples handle their marriages with due care because that institution matters to them. Men handle their cars with much care because they love their cars. Who can identify with that? Come on now. Yeah. One day when God blesses you with your car, you'll know what I'm talking about. But I know there are some ladies who are also very obsessed with their vehicles. I know Shadi. She's got an obsession with powerful cars. She's like, gentlemen. She can tell you about power engines and all that stuff. She's into that. But what am I saying? Vehicles really matter to people. And therefore we handle them with care. The same thing applies to the vision at God Church. If it really matters to us, we'll handle it like it matters. The day that it becomes a matter of life and death for us, we will handle it as such. My question is, does this vision really matter? And the answer to that question determines how you will handle yourself with regards to this vision. You see, there's something about politicians. I've never seen people who are as committed to their ideology as politicians are. It doesn't matter how weird and how skewed an ideology is, but you will find Malema sold out. I'm not saying his vision is weird. I'm just saying he is so sold out to his agenda. Sold out. He's laid down his life for that. It doesn't matter how weird ANC's policies are. I'm not saying they're weird. But the people are sold out for that vision. They give up everything. They stop their day job to become something in the ANC. But how much more Church of Jesus Christ? How much more this institution called the Bride of Jesus Christ? Now, it means that we need to relook at our priorities. I mean, in certain countries, they keep on referring to the Liberation War veterans who died 40 years ago fighting for their liberation. They still talk about the blood that was shed in Mozambique, in Angola, in wherever. They still say, man, they died. And they said, I will die today. I don't know if we can have that type of talk in the church, where the people of God say, somebody died on the cross for this, and I'm prepared to lay down my life for this. Firstly, I want to unpack the broader vision of God Church, dealing with who we are, and thereafter, I want to unpack a little bit about what this year is all about. My question is, if somebody comes to you today, and they say, Lucy, what is God Church all about? Will Lucy be able to say what we are about? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lucy is paying attention. Just picked on her today. Lucy can tell you who we are. Thank you. Now, if you cannot tell someone who we are at God Church, then we have a problem. And guess where the problem starts? It starts here. It reflects how I have failed to clearly articulate the vision of God Church. Before I blame Chen Zi here, I must be able to say, how much information have I passed on to Chen Zi? How much have I spoken about it? Have I been passionate about this vision that it is so contagious that people live and breathe the vision? What is the mission of God Church? Let's start there. I'm going to go through this quite quick so that we don't overstay here. What is the mission of God Church? The mission of God Church is to be a movement of God-honoring believers, progressively discipling nations. That is the mission. That is what we are about, to be a movement of God-honoring believers, progressively discipling nations. Let's make it as succinct and as short as we can. We are a movement of God-honoring believers who are progressively discipling nations. That is our mission. And I'd encourage you to write it somewhere, to pray about it, and to ask yourself, are we becoming that? Now, who are we? Let's answer a couple of questions. Already it is ingrained in that mission. Who are we? We are a movement of God-honoring believers. And this is what this church is all about. If we can raise a people that are God-honoring in everything that they do, can walk into heaven that day, and the Father will say to God Church, well done, good and faithful servants. We will not be measured based on another church's mission. We'll be measured on this one thing, to have disciples who are God-honoring in what they do. And this is our identity. This is what distinguishes us from another church down the road. And guess what? This is what will attract certain people to this church. And this is what will repel certain people from this church. When you talk about God honor, man, it is a deep issue. And I say to you, if you want your children raised in an environment where they're taught the truth to become God-honoring, you are in the right place. And hear me good, I'm not comparing myself with any other church. We are talking about who we are. Praise the Lord for the church down the road. Hallelujah. I pray that they become everything that God has called them to be. A movement of God honoring believers. That is who we are. And it is important for you to account. It is important for me to account. The day that I live a dishonorable life, you have a responsibility and a right to take me on and say, Pastor, that is dishonoring. That is not who we are. The same thing applies. The moment somebody lives a life that is dishonoring, with the love of God, let's go and talk to one another. That is. You know how it is in different families? They will say, this is not who we are. This is not what this clan is all about. Yeah. And I want you to come to that place where you say, this is who we are. And this is who we are not. What do we do? Number two, it's very important for us to understand, what do we do? So, we progressively disciple nations. In that journey of becoming God-honoring, the issue of discipleship is so key to this church that when people walk through the church, they must sense, they must feel that somebody looks after me. Somebody is concerned about my spiritual well-being. Somebody is concerned about my well-being. That is why it's not about what we do at the stage. It's about you. It's about the life. It's about the individual. You see, when Jesus left earth, he left us a clear instruction. And I'm sorry to say, the instruction was not about gathering lots of money. There's nothing wrong with money. The instruction was not about building beautiful auditorium. There's nothing wrong with that. One day we'll have our own. But as whenever we do and we pursue all of those things, we must understand the heartbeat of Jesus. When he spoke to the disciples, when he appeared from the dead, he said to them, go and make disciples of all nations. That was the mandate. Remember what we said in Proverbs 29:18, in the absence of a vision, in the absence of a God-inspired vision. And I want you to know, God Church, you are right up there on the heartbeat of God regarding his love for the fallen world. That is the vision of God Church, to disciple, to progressively disciple people. We are not where we want to be, but we are not where we used to be. We are on a journey. So when somebody comes into your life, do not expect perfection, because heaven does not expect perfection from them. Come on now. But we are on a journey of growth. We are on a journey of developing our inner man. You see, when you walk through God Church, my prayer is that from the first day, you might be at a certain level, but in 6 months' time, you should have progressed to something. Man, your thinking patterns should be different. I don't believe anybody can be in God Church for 3 months and they still remain the same in certain ways of thinking. Come on, can somebody agree with that? I believe God wants us to look at a life of an individual and draw them closer and closer to the glory. Closer and closer to where Jesus is at. So our mandate is to make disciples of all nations. That is what we do. Progressively disciple nations. Number three, how do we do it? How do we do it? We do this by communicating and demonstrating the kingdom of God. So there's a place to communicate, there's a place to demonstrate. You see, you cannot deny that you're eating a lemon fruit because it's sour, it has a certain, it's acidic. And at God Church, there has to be a place where people must look at you and they're able to say, I see Christ in you. Because you are demonstrating the life of Jesus. The Bible says you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And a city on top of the hill cannot be hidden. Glory be to God. So how do we do it? By communicating and demonstrating the kingdom of God. You see, when you communicate, you present relevant information that is useful to a situation. Now at Go, we teach the word with clarity and with simplicity. We might not get it right all the time, but that doesn't stop us from trying to become what God has called us to be. You see, these days you hear people asking, is your church a prophetic church? Have you heard that? Is your church a prophetic church? You know, I actually don't know how to answer that question. We're a church of Jesus Christ that has been called to teach the word. But we believe that every child of God is a prophetic individual. Glory be to God. We walk by the Spirit of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will reveal to you from time to time things that are yet to happen. He gives you an inclination about something that makes all of us prophetic. So I don't understand it. But all I'm saying as the church, our gift and our strong gift is a teaching gift. So we might not be able to scream and shout a lot, but by all means, we try to deposit things in your hands that you're able to take with to your workplace. And you're able to live your life to the glory of Jesus. So the main grace of a God church is the grace of teaching the scriptures. So if you are that person who is inclined towards understanding doctrine, towards understanding the principles of the word, you will enjoy your time here. You will love it. But if you are inclined to wanting to know who you're going to marry tomorrow, come on now, wanting to know what they were doing last night, you might not enjoy it here. Come on now. And I'm not going to try and be that, because I'm not that. That is why we pray for every church of Jesus Christ to become the best that they're supposed to. I'm saying if God has called you to go to church, you'll enjoy the teaching. You'll feel full when you leave the church. Glory be to God. And that is who we are. Number four, how is the vision expressed? How is this vision expressed? Five pillars. The vision is expressed through making of disciples. Right at the top, making of disciples. Number two, building families. That is why we are very strong on building marriages. That is why our children's ministry is not a babysitting place. It's a place where young people are discipled. We believe in raising leaders. Another grace on our church is leadership. Number four, transforming society. What am I talking about here? You see, when you come here, it's not about give me, give me, give me. My name is Jimmy. It's about how do you become the best that God has called you to be. We give you tools. And the transformation that takes place in the life of an individual is when you're able to hit how. A lot of people can preach what? A lot of people can preach why? But very few people can teach how. How is what changes our lives. I need to have a tool and teach me how to use this tool. Glory be to God. And of course, establishing churches. So, so important. This is how our vision is expressed. Now, in one line, the identity of God Church can be summed up as follows. God honoring in all. Glory be to God. God honoring in all. If you want to know what God Church is all about, what I've just unpacked, that is who we are. And I'll encourage you to pray into this and to be so obsessed by it. And that you ask yourself, how do I fit in this? How am I living up to this? Hallelujah. Now, an organization cannot run with efficiency unless it knows what the end is. And this is what we're painting, the end. Now, in the absence of a compelling vision, people will give up, people will be confused and demotivated because we're just coming into church and, man, it feels good. Let's have a visual, a variety show. Yeah, in churches. Man, let's do a concert. Man, it feels good. Let's put a pool out there in a mobile pool and people can just swim. Why? Why do you want to do that? Okay? Man, it feels like it's nice. Let's play Mendoza during youth meetings. Oh, I'm telling you. funny things happen in youth meetings. I can tell you that. It's because there is no vision. But the moment you know we're God honoring young people, and those that won't be played in our youth meeting. Come on. Not because I'm being nasty. It's just because it's not us. Come on now. It's not us. There are certain things we just don't do. Because it's not honoring to our God. Well, other churches can do that. I don't know how they'll do it, but it's okay. They know what they're doing. But not in this house. You're dating your girlfriend? Don't stay at your house. We just don't do that. Why? It's dishonoring before God. Come on now. Well, let me not go there. Now, the vision of God Church is to raise God-honoring believers who progressively disciple nations. The key here is to progressively disciple nations. Hallelujah. Now, there's absolutely no way we can disciple nations unless we reach nations for Jesus. For you to disciple somebody, you must have made a move to reach them. You must have made a move to draw them into your space. Do you know that it is possible to disciple somebody even before they become a Christian? You start breaking down cultural barriers before they encounter the cross. You walk with this non-believer so much that your Christianity is contagious that they can't help it but admire the type of person you are. Then one day you say to them, you know what? There's one thing that I haven't told you. I want to talk to you about the one I met. Who did you meet? See, if you're a girl, they'll think you met a boy somewhere. No. I'm talking about Jesus. Glory be to God. So I'm saying here, there is no way we can disciple nations unless we reach nations for Jesus. And I want to say to us this morning, this church will thrive the moment it engages the matter of discipling nations. There will be no space in this church. And I believe the Lord has laid a foundation here. We should have been further than where we are right now. But it's okay, we'll not be tired. Until we see the glory of God rising upon this church. Hallelujah. And until we see nations being transformed from one level of glory to the next. The Bible says, with unveiled eyes, we contemplate the glory of the gospel. And we are transformed from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Now, as the year of 2022 came to an end, the Lord started laying things in my heart and really reminding me about what's on His heart for us as a church. The question is, what is 2023 all about? Briefly, allow me to just unpack what this year is all about. Now, allow me to introduce the theme for 2023. And this theme is tied on the hip with the mission of God Church. The theme for 2023 is love to reach and reach to love. Come on now, let's clap our hands for Jesus. 2023, we are talking about love to reach and reach to love. I don't know if you can see already that in this theme, it is talking about us going out of these four walls. It is talking about us going out of ourselves and reaching the next person next to you. You know, it doesn't help us to go and reach a guy down the road when the next person down next to me hasn't been reached by my love. When somebody hasn't sensed the love of God in God Church, there's nothing that inspires them to lead somebody else out there. So when you're talking about love to reach, it is both internally and externally. I must feel so much love in this church that I want to tell somebody about this church. Oh, does somebody hear me this morning? When you are loved by the leaders in this church, you feel confident to introduce your friends to the church. One of the reasons why we don't bring our friends to church is because we are ashamed about the church. It's because you are concerned. What if something happens at church? And we're talking about love to reach and reach to love. We are saying that Make a deliberate decision this year to love being a witness of Jesus Christ. The Lord was challenging me that the church needs to go back to its foundations. And I want to say this to my own shame, that we haven't done enough of reaching. We haven't done enough to reach the community where God has planted us. But that is about to change. Come on now. And it starts with me. It starts with you. When you say to yourself, who have I reached this week? Love to reach and reach to love. It means that you must desire. You must have passion for it. And then for you to love, love is not love until it is given away. You know that statement? Love is not love until it is given away. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave. You see, when you love to reach, you'll give towards the reaching. When you love to touch somebody's life, you lay down your life for that process. You see, when you love something, you go out of your way in order to express that love. If any one of you has ever fallen in love, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. You did whatever was necessary to be in touch with that person. You never complain that you've got no airtime. You made it. You made sure you find airtime. You know what I'm talking about. Those of you who grew up there in the rural areas, you climb that mountain to find network. Or rather that tree. To find connectivity. Why were you doing that? You loved somebody. And the Lord is saying, if you love to reach, there are things that are associated with that love. When heaven loved the world, heaven did not just wait in heaven there. They said, who shall we send? Who shall go on our behalf? And Jesus said, send me, give me a body, and I will go. And Jesus came. In 2023, we are going back to the basics whereby we are passionately involved with touching the next person. What will be the anchor scripture of this theme? Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Acts chapter 1, verse 6 to 8. The Bible says, then indeed these coming together, they asked him. This was the 40-day period where Jesus was talking to his disciples after rising from the dead. Okay? And Jesus was there. This was one of those moments. And he was talking to them. They asked him, saying, Lord, do you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power, the Holy Spirit coming upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. There is Jesus coming back from life, talking to these shell-shocked disciples who were about to desert the ministry, and then Jesus comes back from the dead. You see, when Jesus was talking to his disciples, all along they thought, man, the guy has come to restore the Jewish nation. And then, alas, he dies. You can imagine how their hope was dashed the moment Jesus died. They were almost giving up. And then, from the dead, the man rises up. Think about the superheroes that we watch these days. Think about Jesus coming back from the dead. And the disciples thought, yes, the man is back from the dead. He's about to restore the Jewish nation. They were thinking about their own comfort. They were thinking about the emancipation of the Israeli nation. And they were saying to themselves, nobody can beat a man rising from the dead. Even the Roman Empire, it doesn't matter how strong they are, it doesn't matter how strong Caesar can be, this one came from the dead. And therefore they started asking, when is this going to happen? Jesus said to them, forget about that. That is not why I came back from the dead. The reason why I came back from the dead, it is for the souls that are not yet reconciled with the Father. He said to them, forget about the emancipation of the Jewish nation. Forget about your personal comfort. There is work to be done. You shall be my witnesses. I want to give you power. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. It's not about our comfort. Saints, our salvation is not about our comfort. The church was not called for the church. The church is for the unsaved. The reason why there are so many fights in the body of Christ, it is because we are inward looking. We are thinking about the color of the walls, the comfort on the chairs, how smelly the carpet is. You know, when you're about your Father's business, it doesn't matter the color of the wall. As long as people are being restored to Jesus. And this is what Jesus was saying to them. He said, boys, forget about your comfort. I've got news for you. I'm going to give you power. Yeah. And this power is not for you. This power is to enable you to tell people what you have seen in me. That is what a witness is. A witness is somebody who has witnessed and seen an event. Somebody who has experienced an event. You go and tell somebody that I know how Oros tastes. Because I tasted Oros last night. Oros, whatever it is. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm saying to you as a believer, you were born again not for your comfort. And this has been the fight in the church. As long as church is comfortable, people are good. But the moment there's pressure that is placed, it's too hot. You see, Jesus is looking at God's church and say, I've planted you in Pretoria, it's what have you done? And he's saying, you've got enough people to turn this area right side up. Not upside down. Come on now. You've got enough critical mass. As long as everybody here is sold out to the agenda of heaven. To say, far be it from me to have this chair empty for another 6 months. Where young people here say, I'm not going to go to church alone. Where the married people here say, I'm not going to do this by myself. Can you imagine how heaven feels every time we meet and there are 10% of the chairs are empty? And heaven is saying, you have all you need. For power has been given to you. Jesus says, power shall come upon you after the Holy Spirit has come and you shall be my witnesses. There must be a holy anger inside of us as the church and say, 6 years down the road, we can't even have enough people to sit on these chairs. Don't allow the devil to start saying to you, oh, this pastor is about numbers. Oh, yes, the kingdom of God is about numbers. Because the devil is busy recruiting right now, and many are dying without knowing Jesus. And the church is sitting back saying, this guy is about numbers. No, I'm not about numbers. I'm about souls. You have received all you need to be a witness, saints. There is nobody amongst us here who can say, I don't know how to do it. Or I don't have enough word inside of me. Wow. Now, at the center of this theme is this. What are we willing to do to reach people outside this church and outside the faith? This is the question. What are we willing to do, saints? We need to come to a place of just feeling, man, something is not right. It can't be that I see the same face for 6 years. Come on, Iron. I must see another one. No, this guy is a soldier in the house of the Lord. That's why I can pick on him. I mean, if you want to take me on, you go through him first. That's how he's been sold out for this. And that speaks of all of you here. That is why you are here today. I wouldn't be here if you had given up on this journey. The fact that you are here today, I say, hallelujah, Lord, thank you. I've got 40 people that are sold out for this work. Lord, do whatever you can with us. Lord, do whatever you can with us. You'll be amazed by what God will do in us and through us. When we say love to reach, what do we mean? Allow me just to unpack a few things and then we are done. It means commit to reaching people. Make it your personal agenda. You know, when people say, I have an agenda. I remember at my workplace, or on one of my projects, another guy came from another site. He was working for my client. And the first thing, he came and he raised the dust. Man, he kicked us around. Yo, we felt like, yo, what has just happened? We felt like we're hit by a tornado. And then I asked him, I'm like, hey, but why are you like this? Man, why are you like this? It's not sustainable. And he said to me, listen, man, I really don't care. I have an agenda. And I'm like, what's your agenda? He's like, I've got my bonus pinned on the success of this job. I will do whatever it takes. Man, he raised the dust. Emotionally, he grinded us. I'm like, hey, but take it easy, man. And I dug behind his life and I realized why he's like that. But what's the point? He had an agenda. And he wasn't going to allow nobody to stop him from getting a bonus. And I want to say to you today, are you going to have an agenda? Where you say to yourself, I'm not going to stop until this one comes to Jesus. I'm not going to stop until we see the glory of God in this house. Commit to reach people. Make time to reach people. Do not become too busy for our own good. We can become so busy that we are good for nothing in the kingdom of God because we've got no time for our neighbors. We've got no time for our friends to tell them about Jesus. And that is why we are where we are today. Make meaningful sacrifices to reach people for God. When last did you feel challenged? Kingdom matters. When last did you feel like, I need to pray for this person? I need to pray for this community. We need to come to a place where we lay down our lives for the souls that Jesus laid down his life for. When that happens, we will have no space here. We'll have two services before year end. Can somebody say amen to that? When each one reach one, there will be no space here. And next year we'll have to move out to another place. Come on now. I refuse to be here in the coming 10 years. It can't be. We can't be in this venue for the coming 4 years. Something must happen. When we turn 10, we must be moving in our own place. It's possible. But we must dream it and talk it. You see, in embracing a vision, you have three levels of commitment. Allow me to give you those three levels. The first level is the person likes the vision and he enjoys eating of it. The guy is a Jimmy. Give me, give me, give me. My name is Jimmy. They like consuming. They're consumers. Hey, it's too hot. Where are the ushers? What's wrong with this aircon? Man, there's no gas in the aircon. You know what I'm talking about? Man, what's wrong with the lights? They are blinding us. Well, what's wrong with the lights? We are so sorry. I'm talking about somebody who likes the vision, but there's nothing more that comes out. That's level one. Level two, this person likes the vision. This person eats of the vision. And from time to time, when it's convenient, they contribute. This one has moved from just consuming. And whenever there's a little change, they throw it in the offering basket. Whenever they have time, they can then be present whenever God bless you, my dear sister.
It's all good.
Now, I'm talking about level two. Level two, it is that person who loves it, he eats of it, and then when it is comfortable, they contribute. Pastor, I cannot come to Ignite because, man, I had a long night. I won't ask what happened in the night. But this person, they only do something when it's convenient. They don't give sacrificially. The leftovers is what they give in the house of God. That's level two. Level three, this person loves the vision. This person eats of the vision. This person gives towards the vision, but they ultimately lay down for the vision. That is what we're talking about today. If we're going to see movement in this church and souls coming to church, we have to move all the way to level three, where we lay down our lives for what Jesus laid down his life for. John chapter 3 verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, right? If you go to 1 John chapter 3 verse 16, it says, is it asking for too much for you to lay down your own life for the other? It's in the scriptures. People of God, if God's church is going to have enough of men, it will require us to lay down our lives. And I'm talking about what I know. It takes a lot to be committed to a vision and to see it through. I have had many people coming here and promising me Paris. They promised me New York. They promised me gold, diamonds. But a month down the road, gone. It takes a lot to build a ministry. It takes a lot to you lay down your life literally. I mean, people will come and tell you things like, man, I feel comfortable. The Lord is speaking to me. I'm at peace. I belong to this church, but you don't see them tomorrow. Last night, I had this holy anger rising up within me. And I was saying to my wife, people don't respect the house of God. How dare you walk in the church and you tell the pastor, God has told me I belong to this church. And then 1 week down the road, you are not found. How am I supposed to trust you? How am I supposed to count on you? But I know you're here because you're ready to lay down your life for this. Not for me, but for the one who laid down his life for us. Jesus was preparing his disciples and he said to them, guys, where I am going, you cannot go. None of you. Where is he going? And Peter says, Lord, me, I'll die for you. I'll die with you. And Jesus said, Peter, please just keep quiet. Peter, just chill. Just swallow a chill pill, because when you're going to deny me 3 times. Man, talk about ministry. And then Jesus said, the devil came last night asking for you. He asked me if he can sift you a little bit. And Jesus says to Peter, but I prayed for you. You will be sifted, but you'll come back. I pray for your comeback. Come on now. I pray that you'd come back and reconnect with this vision and say, I will run. As long as God has allowed me to be here, I will lay down my life for this work. Love to reach and reach to love. Allow me to finish off now. I want to show you who knows that to build this type of a vision of reaching people, it requires bodies, it requires us, it requires our presence, it requires our availability, but it also requires our financial muscles. It requires our financial muscles. Let me show you, I want to show you one slide that will basically paint a picture of where we've been financially this past year. If you can just go to the last slide. This is we've got an accounting firm that basically audits our financials, that basically give us financial reports every month. And if you want them, they are readily available. They are signed financials. You can. If you look at this slide, if it was my business would be bankrupt. My business would be, it won't be what we call a going concern. If you look at the financials, you would find that in March, we had almost an 11,000 loss, March 2022. In April, we had a bit of surplus. Maybe it was 2,000 rand. In May, we dipped again, close to 8,000 rand in the negative. In June, we had a surplus of about 8,000. In July, deficit of 9,000. August, deficit of 8,000. September, deficit of 12,000. October, deficit of 8,000. November, deficit of 12,000. The question is, how did we close the gaps? The reality is that we're negative 54,000 rand at the end of the financial year of 2022. 54,000 rand. Someone must think about this. Talk about laying down your life, right? We did not do that well. We had, because I thank God we're quite prudent in terms of our financial management. So what we normally do, whenever there's a surplus, we don't splurge. That is why you don't see us doing a lot of things. We have savings. So that 54,000 rand that we're in negative for came from our savings. That is how we're able. So our financial person, like, Pastor, we are drawing down from the 7-day account. We apply in order to cover rent, cover the utilities. If you look, our expenses are generally constant. It's only in the month of June where we spike. Okay? But generally, our expenses are constant. But our giving has been very fluctuating. Now, you only have got so much in the savings. At some point, those savings are going to run out. We go on this trajectory. If we go on this trajectory, we will run out. And when we run out, it becomes a problem. Now, what this means is that this church cannot afford a full-time pastor. Can you imagine if I was a full-time pastor for all of those months there? Even the months where it's okay, I would not have been able to even pay school fees for the kids or to pay for electricity at the house. That's the reality. I'm trying to paint the reality that we're facing. So I'm not a full-time pastor. I'm a bivocational pastor. The implication of having a bivocational pastor is this. It means that your pastor is maxed. He will not be able to do as much as he would love to because he's got a business to run. See? He's got a day job. It then means that each one of us must pull their weight to ensure that what the pastor cannot do, the gaps are covered. Where I'm not able to visit, I'm able to go to an Edward here and say, please go and visit that family. It means that we must be able to rise up and take more responsibility and more ownership. It also means that when we do outreaches, if you do come, you have also a pastor who would have worked a 54-hour week, but this guy and this woman is there for the outreach. And I need you to always think of that. That if I don't come for prayer, maybe that few guys who are there, they would have done their own 48-hour week, but they're still found. I want to encourage you. This here is a picture that is calling us to think about how we've been giving. You know, when you talk about sacrificial giving, I know a lot of people shun away from the word tithe. We don't push tithe a lot in this church. But many people who don't give tithe actually don't give sacrificially. And the reason why you've been giving your tithe Some, I'm not saying all of you, it's because you are afraid of the curse. But the day you were taught that there's no curse attached to this whole issue, you pulled back. You're like, ah, you know what? Man, I was afraid of jail. There's no more jail, free for all. What it means that you, on your budget, you don't even put that tithe. You don't even put sacrificial giving. And that is why we are where we are. Does somebody hear me today? So when I'm saying these things, it's not because I'm looking for a salary, no. I'm not looking for a salary. I'm looking for enough for us to be able to do Love to Reach program. If we are to reach this community, we have to do things out there that make sense to the community. If you are to do a family day, you need to be able to hire jumping castles. You have to be able to hire different equipment to draw the community where the community can then connect and collide with the church. But you can't do it in a month where you've got a deficit of 12,000 rand. Because my financial person will say, Pastor, we can't do that because next year, next month, we won't be able to pay the rent. Can you see where I'm going with this? This is so much tied to this Love to Reach program. Otherwise, we just remain the way we are now. And I want to challenge you, if you haven't been giving sacrificially, to think again. To be honest with you, the Lord has blessed us here. A lot of us here have got high-powered jobs. A number of us do have. But very few of us are giving sacrificially. I want to encourage you and applaud those who have been giving. I can't ask for more from you. Thank you for being faithful with the little that you have. You are like the Macedonian church. Out of their poverty, they gave. Thank you for being faithful. But if you haven't been part of this, may the Spirit of Jesus stir you up and say, you know what? Next year, it will be different. When we start doing Love to Reach programs, you will see the need. The need will be real. If you go to an old people's home, you can't go with empty hands. You have to go with something. If you are to go to a school down the road, the Glen High, and you want to minister to those kids, you've got to bring something that allows these people to see the love of God in action. We can't do it in this state. Amen. I'm going to stop there today. I wanted to pray for the leaders, but because of time, I'm going to pray for the leaders next week. It's important that I introduce you to the leadership of the church. So we've got the church leadership team, whom you can call another church, the eldership of the church. And then you've got the broader leadership that makes up, really, you can call them, they serve in capacities of deacons because these are appointed servants. And it's important that we place weight on them. And I don't want to rush it. If I do it now, it will be dishonoring. I want to take time to really pray for each one of the leaders next week, Sunday, and to just bless them and just command them into the hands of the Lord that they can run without getting weary. Amen. I want to do something different. I want to open up the platform for questions before we cut the cake for the birthday. I've got someone who sings, "Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you." It's a very thick accent, but I love it. All right. I want to open the floor. You can cut the recording. Thank you.